Now, the Trump administration released the second part of its massive climate change report, this time looking at the impact climate change will have on the health of Americans and the effect it'll have on the U.S. economy. The outlook is grim, especially if carbon emissions don't go down. According to the report, if the government doesn't take action, the economy could shrink by nearly 10% by the end of the century, and we could see thousands of Americans die annually from climate-related issues, things like heat waves or outbreaks of diseases like West Nile virus. Despite 13 agencies backing the report, the president said yesterday he doesn't believe the published data. Moreover, the report's release on Black Friday has some speculating that the White House tried to bury the story on a slow news cycle. Our next guest joins us now to talk about the report, the response from the White House, and what steps the government can take to slow down climate change. Michael Kraft is Professor Emeritus of Political Science and Public and Environmental Affairs at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Michael, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, we've seen a lot of different reports, international and national, over the years. What's your reaction to this one? What's the significance?
Well, in many ways, the report confirms what previous studies and reports have indicated, which is climate change is real, it's important, it will have very significant effects on people's lives, on their employment, on the economy, and as you noted, on health. I think what's different about this one is this one deals with the U.S. itself. This is a federally mandated report. Congress mandated this in a 1990 law. So although the Trump administration released it, it's not a Trump administration document. It comes from 13 federal agencies, some 300 scientists, and it's basically like the other reports, a kind of state of the art, what we know today about the impacts of climate change, but also what we can do to help minimize those impacts.
And part of the story here isn't just what will the effects of climate change be, but what are the impacts of climate change right now, right?
Right. Many of these reports in the past have indicated where the impacts would be 30 or 50 or 100 years in the future, which, of course, provides little incentive for people to pay attention. This one, much like your news item, indicated wildfires in California linked to drought and climate change, warming, have cost billions of dollars in damage, and so have recent hurricanes in the south and southeast. So this is linking those, at least in part, to climate change, tells us there already are impacts. These impacts will likely be much greater in the future. But also there are some very specific things we can do now to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels and to try to minimize some of those impacts. And that, I think, is the real heart of this report. It documents in great detail in 1,600 pages, region by region across the country. So there's a section on the Midwest that includes Wisconsin, what these impacts are, also how we can adapt to them, the smart things to do to minimize the impacts, and above all, how we need to reduce our emission of greenhouse gases that is what's driving this whole process.
Well, let's start with that before we dig too much into the impacts. Let's talk about those opportunities you're talking about. What kind of things does the report lay out, especially here in the Midwest?
Well, in terms of reducing greenhouse gases, whatever report emphasizes is the need to move away more or less quickly from the reliance on fossil fuels. Now, the Midwest, the report notes, is much more heavily reliant on coal than other parts of the country, about 56%. In Wisconsin, the figure is about 52%. The country has actually made great strides in moving toward renewable energy in recent years, particularly in terms of electricity generation. And the Obama administration made a number of decisions that would have put us on a better path for the future. A lot of those have been challenged by the Trump administration. The courts ultimately will rule on those. This is the so-called Clean Power Plan, which involves phasing out of coal-fired power plants and, of course, auto fuel efficiency standards. My guess is the Trump administration will not be very successful in court. And this new report actually strengthens the case of those in favor of action on climate change because it makes it hard to develop rules that overturn the Obama administration efforts, because now we have yet another scientific document on the reality of those impacts, and that is surely going to be part of the lawsuits pending against the Trump administration actions.
Talking to Michael Kraft, Professor Emeritus of Political Science and Public and Environmental Affairs at UW-Green Bay, looking at this big federal report on the impacts of climate change in the United States and opportunities to mitigate those impacts. I want to give a listen to President Trump. This is him yesterday asked if he had read the report. Here's part of what he had to say.
I've seen it. I've read some of it, and It's fine.
They say economic impact is devastating.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
No, I don't believe it. And here's the other thing. You're going to have China and Japan and all of Asia and all of these other countries, you know, addresses our country. Right now, we're at the cleanest we've ever been. And that's very important to me. But if we're clean, but every other place on Earth is dirty, that's not so good. So I want clean air. I want clean water. Very important.
So what do you make of the president's response there to this report?
Well, he was actually right about one thing, which is that the United States has become slightly cleaner in terms of greenhouse emissions in recent years. But most of that is due to the Obama administration efforts. The real questions about that, well, that will be true going forward. The other statement he made has an element of truth, but is a bit misleading, and that is he implied that the United States is the only country that's moving towards a clean path. And actually, the United States has been the world's leading laggard on climate change for many years. We reversed that just before the Trump administration, but I think, as most listeners know, Trump announced the U.S. would withdraw from the Paris Accord on climate change. And because of that lack of U.S. leadership, other countries may do less. But he's also correct that most countries are not living up to the commitments they made at Paris. My hope was that if the United States provided leadership and stuck to what it had committed itself to, other countries also would have done it. But if the United States withdraws and we increase reliance on fossil fuels, which this administration is trying to do, then it wouldn't be a surprise that other countries will say, then why should we go ahead at some short-term cost to do this if the United States will not act?
I want to bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Mark is with us in New Berlin. Mark, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Say, I guess I'm pretty much agreeing with the last caller, but I throw in one thing more. If the United States and Western Europe stopped producing CO2 today, zero, nothing, CO2 levels would continue to be higher than they were in the 1990s and would continue to increase because China and India are putting so much into the, we are not the lagger in this, like your guest said. China and India have pumped so much carbon dioxide into, they're both the world's leaders in producing it, and I don't see what we can do short of removing the CO2 from the atmosphere with cooling plants or with organic plants.
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. A couple different points there. Michael, first of all, he's worried even if we act now, it's not going to make any difference.
Well, a lot of people have that sense of futility that it would be too little and too late, and countries like China and India are rapidly industrializing. But those countries are beginning to make a change, and my hope was that, and still is, that the United States would provide some reason for China to move even more quickly away from coal and towards cleaner sources of energy. China is emerging as the leader worldwide in the production of electric vehicles and is much more committed to that than the U.S. is. India is a little more problematic, but nobody said it would be easy going forward. I think the U.S. has a role to play, and it's certainly also true, as the caller noted, that despite our cutting back on greenhouse gas emissions, both here and around the world, the reality is greenhouse gases stay in the atmosphere for a long time. So that measured greenhouse gases in the atmosphere continue to rise. So all of the effects that the new report underscored, both for the Midwest and for the rest of the country, you know, are still likely to be highly problematic going forward.
And Mark also mentioned the hopes of maybe pulling CO2, carbon dioxide, out of the atmosphere. Is that something that is legitimately on the horizon?
Not on the near-term horizon. That would be, ideally, we would compensate in part for our emission of greenhouse gases by removing carbon, much as trees and other vegetation already do that. But on an industrial scale, we don't yet have the technology at a sufficient cost level to be able to do that. Putting more money into research on developing those technologies makes a lot of sense, as it does developing new sources of energy, particularly electricity generation going forward. So there's much the government can do, there's much that the private sector can do, and much that individuals can do simply with energy conservation and efficiency that would help delay the onset of some of these impacts the report talks about.
We're talking to Michael Kraft. He's a professor emeritus of political science and public and environmental affairs at UW-Green Bay. He's with us to talk about the climate change report released on Friday. That report shows that thousands of Americans could die and the U.S. economy could shrink if the government doesn't take action to alleviate climate change. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the report and what you've seen about it? What kind of actions would you like to see taken to slow climate change, whether by the federal, state, local governments, individuals, businesses? What concerns do you have about climate change and global warming? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation about the climate change report released by the federal government on Friday. Michael Kraft is with us, Professor Emeritus of Political Science and Public and Environmental Affairs at UW Green Bay. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about this report? What kind of action, if any, do you want to see taken when it comes to climate change by the federal government, by other agencies as well? Call in at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Ned is with us in Lake DeBay. Ned, what do you think?
Yes, two quick things. As a professor emeritus in the UW system, we always try to encourage our students to use critical thinking. And using critical thinking, we need to look at the credentials of the scientists that did the National Climate Assessment. These people have devoted decades of their lives to their profession. They know what they're talking about. There's 13 federal agencies and at least 300 scientists involved. And for President Trump to dismiss them is unconscionable without being specific. You've got to be specific if you're going to say this is not something that he believes in. Well, why not? Then the second thing is, we know what to do to address climate change. It's not like we are searching for some way to do it. We know what to do, and we need to have the political will to do it. And one of the things we can do, it's not the only thing, but one thing we could do is being done by Canada right now, carbon fee and dividend, increase the price of fossil fuels until they are more expensive than renewable energy. And then people in a free market society will choose the less expensive renewable energy, and we will make the transition over to renewable energy. And the dividend part of it is to offset the additional cost of the fossil fuels. So the federal government would collect money for more expensive fossil fuels and then return it to the consumers of our country in the form of a dividend so that they would break even in most cases.
Gotcha, Ned. I'll jump in. Michael, something like a carbon tax, in effect, I think is what he's describing.
Right. And specifically, the Citizens Climate Lobby has proposed what we call a revenue neutral carbon tax, so carbon fees and dividend, meaning all the extra taxes are returned to individuals, so there's no net increase in taxes. But what you do is price fossil fuels and fossil fuel related products at a higher level and let the free market have some effect. So I can't disagree with very much that Ned said. Clearly, in rejecting the report and saying he read some of it, which is, I think, a little bit doubtful given the president's habits, but he pretty clearly just rejected it out of hand. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe scientists in general on this subject and on other subjects. And as Ned pointed out, these are federal agency scientists who have spent their entire careers working on this subject, and they deserve the kind of attention that the press and the country is giving to this report, even if the White House chooses not to do so.
Ned, thanks for the call. Going out to John in Madison. John, hi.
Hi. I know the report addressed the damage that would happen to the U.S. and our economy as a result of climate change. I wonder if there's any emphasis on the positive side. If we address climate change, how many jobs could be produced from a changing economy, from new technologies that could be used to address climate change? I'm wondering, and if it's not addressed in this report, is there evidence out there about jobs that would be produced from changing technologies and attempting to address climate change? Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. There is evidence. This report, as far as I can tell, I didn't read all 1,600 pages, read the entire section on the Midwest and other sections. I don't believe it deals directly with employment opportunities in climate change mitigation and adaptation, but clearly there will be, and other studies have underscored that we can have solid economic growth, job creation, while still promoting the kind of transition that the caller and other callers have referred to, which is a transition to renewable energy. The report does try to document the impacts, particularly on agriculture and farmers in the Midwest, and as you noted, on public health because of increased air pollution and the like. But all the actions that we can take also carry some economic benefits. And if we're smarter about the way we plan infrastructure, if we can reduce the risk of flooding and the damage that comes from flooding, that's all an economic gain as well.
Thanks a lot for that call. I want to drill back into the report a little, Michael. Down to the local level, in the Midwest section, they talk about how local governments could take steps to prevent carbon emissions and also build climate change resilience. And they say only, I think, four local agencies or local governments have an agency to deal with that.
Yes, I saw that part. It's rather striking that only four local governments would do that because, in a way, this is part of what's we sometimes call community sustainability efforts, and many more cities have sustainability offices. One would have thought they would pay more attention to things like where you put roads and at what level, and stormwater management and assistance to farmers to make sure that the crops they're planting and where they're planting them will be resistant to the kind of temperature increases and rainfalls that we expect. Madison and other parts of Wisconsin actually had an experience with this back in August when we had historic levels of torrential rainfall and with extensive flooding. So there are things that cities can do about that if they have the willpower and have a plan in place, which is you plan for better stormwater management, you make sure roads are not subject to flooding, you upgrade facilities, infrastructure as needed, and doing so, of course, is a positive for the economy while preventing future damage.
We are talking to Michael Kraft, Professor Emeritus of Political Science and Public and Environmental Affairs at UW-Green Bay, looking at a new federal climate change report, a big report that came out on Black Friday, looking at the possible economic impacts, health impacts, and more in the Midwest and around the United States if climate change isn't dealt with. Back to your calls now. Jay is with us in Washburn. Jay, hi.
Hi. I'm going to take it back out to the global level and ask, when we compare other countries with the United States, such as China and India, how do we compare on a per capita basis with total output of carbon dioxide? And I'll take your response off the air.
Jay, thanks for the call. I don't know if you have numbers in front of you, Michael, but what do you think?
Not right in front of me, but it's a good question to ask because the previous caller referred to India and China being the dominant producers, and that may be true in the overall level, but on a per capita basis, the United States remains at the top. It basically reflects the kind of consumer culture and affluence that we have, so we generate more greenhouse gases from the economic activity. Other countries are larger, but so on a per capita basis, they rank a little below the United States, even if on the whole they produce more. But what Jay is saying reminds us that this is a solution to climate change. There'll be a multifaceted solution that's going to take a long time. It's going to be over decades that we find ways to slow the release of greenhouse gases, change our energy dependence to non-fossil fuel sources, and that, by the way, might include nuclear power, and I hope much more research into alternatives to fossil fuels. But it also involves a change in the way we live our lives to reduce this kind of per capita impact that puts us ahead of China and India, and such simple things as turning down the thermostat a bit in winter so you burn less natural gas or whatever other source is being used, and using vehicles that are more fuel efficient. And this is true for industries and for city governments and state governments as well. This needs to be a really big part of the conversation that we have, and we need to get busy. And I think this is the essence of this new report. We cannot delay any longer. The risks are too great. The economic impact on farmers, on the city governments is too great to ignore, and it's about time we got moving on this.
Briefly, Michael, one of our earlier callers used the phrase political will. Do we have even the potential to have the political will to take the kind of actions you're talking about?
Well, I think we do. I mean, you have groups such as one caller referred to, the Citizens Climate Lobby, that's been on a bipartisan basis, has been trying to work with elected officials in Washington and in state capitals to see if we can't come to some agreement on what needs to be done with a carbon revenue-neutral carbon tax. There are many other groups urging a transition to renewable energy and away from fossil fuels. The political challenges we currently have in national government, and at least the presidential branch, that is not convinced this is a problem, or that it's not our problem uniquely, and is backtracking on the commitments we made over the past decade. So that really needs to change, and that means the public needs to make clear to political leaders that they really want this change. The polls show that to be the case, but this is typically not a very high salience issue for most people. People communicate their views to elected officials, demand that we take action and do it soon. We'll be on a better track than we are now.
We'll leave it there for now. Michael, thanks a lot for joining us.
Sure, happy to do so.
That's Michael Kraft, Professor Emeritus of Political Science and Public and Environmental Affairs at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He joined us today to talk about the big climate change report released by the federal government that shows the U.S. will face significant health and economic issues in the present and the near future if climate change isn't addressed.